I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't let your ears hog all the fun. This episode of Steel Wars is also available in full video at youtube.com/Steel Wars.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And for the next hour or so, we'll be talking all things Star Wars on YouTube, on the podcast, on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in and join the conversation, it is 563-993-745. And I am joined, as our video watchers just got revealed, in studio by the producer, Rashad. How are you doing, Rashad?
So it is.
I've got to get rid of our image on here. This is going to ruin us being able to see us here. Also, our co-host and patrolling that live chat, which is already heating up. We've got Tom Chansky. We've got Mr. Rez. We've got Jim. Andy Campbell from Australia is dropping a g'day, which
g'day to you, mate.
On brand, but cliche. Welcome from New York, our friend, and maybe yours. I can't vouch for that. It's Emily Lind.
Hello.
From the Canto Bite Dispatch podcast.
That's right.
How has your Star Wars week been, Emily?
It definitely picked up today. I'll say that.
Oh, with the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we've got so many things to talk about. The trailer is one of them. We'll be talking about the Resistance trailer. We've got Star Wars Barbies. And I'm interested. I've been out of the loop because I've been in Vegas for a couple of days doing work for my other life.
Quote-unquote work in Vegas.
I've been doing work in Vegas. I didn't get. I gambled.
Working those slots.
I gambled. I did play the slots.
Of course you did.
No, $5. So I get half price ribs.
Oh, man.
So.
You got to pay the cost to be the boss.
Thank you, Ellis Island gambling establishment. Great ribs and very low return on my $5. We've got D23 coming up. Galaxy's Edge. A lot of talk about Galaxy's Edge.
I've been there.
Underperforming. I also want to conclude with a bit of discussion about It Will Melt Your Mind, what Kevin Smith was told, Rashad, about the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker.
You know, I got a feeling it's probably not going to melt my mind, but I'm eager to hear what he has to say. Just saying. I like Kevin Smith. He's got a knack for hyperbole.
Yeah, but I don't think it was him being the hyperbole.
Oh, so like all the other news outlets just like, you won't believe what he said.
No, I think he was told that on set that it would melt his mind.
Oh, okay.
They had I don't know, like if wherever they're at, Pinewood or wherever, they've got like a sign on like the door with like a brain and then like melt, like heat waves. Don't go in unless you've got your helmet on. Do you have to wear one of those helmets on that set like Magneto? There you go, X-Men reference.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. He's reaching through fandoms for me.
Okay.
It shows he cares.
He was talking about X-Men before. So I'd throw that in. But Star Wars Resistance is the first thing on the lips of Star Wars fans today. I'm sorry to all those podcasts that... recorded and put out their episodes today. Bad motivators. Sorry about that, guys. But that's the way the news crumbles. let's play it because Rashad hasn't even seen it. So let's.
Everyone back to the Colossus!
Ambulances hit!
Use a little help! I'm too attached! Get us into space and huge risk!
Our only way to escape.
It's going to be hard to keep this nation together with the First Order at our backs.
We're running low on everything.
Food, water, even fuel.
Please, be patient. We're in the middle of a war. And you can thank your captain for that.
The Colossus deserves a new home. We have to work together if we're going to survive.
We only take orders from one tyrant, Captain Kragan.
Tabra, if you are to rise in the ranks, I will require your total cooperation.
Yes, sir.
She is key to finding the Colossus.
Finally, we will wipe them out.
Fail, and I will see to your personally.
They're everywhere. Entire planets are just giving up.
It's just like the Empire when I was a kid.
How did they know how to find us?
As far away as you can. They are bounty hunters.
We're
gonna die!
Just act casual and keep a low profile.
I was a spy. I'm a master at keeping a low profile.
Impressive.
The aces can handle this.
I think she's the one in charge.
Ooh, you're quick.
What is this place?
I don't recognize all of these symbols. It's a power source from an ancient time.
My Faison has returned.
The resistance is proving to be stronger than we anticipated.
Good to go. Punch it!
If you are not capable of dealing with them, then I will find someone who can.
Whoa.
Rashad, that's your first viewing. What do you make of it, buddy?
That's pretty neat. My big takeaway... Lucasfilm loves space marine life in all of their animated properties. We got space whales. We got space manta rays. What are they going to think up next?
All I can think about watching that trailer is that font.
Yeah.
I know it's like this is like a bizarre steel thing
right.
that I get hooked up on, but that font was, what was it? It was like Impact or something with a key, like a 1-point key line around it. It's
better than Comic Sans or Cosmic Sans.
I don't know. It's just such a... Have you got any theories on this font, Emily?
I have to say, it was not the thing that drew my attention.
Oh, dude, every time I watch it, I'm just like, that font, why? And it's like each word is like got a capital letter at the front and then... But it's just...
Steel Wars. Come for the Star Wars talk. Stay for the font theories.
No, I'm a big fan of typesetting, and that font was...
Typography.
Ugh.
Is that what it's called? Typography?
I don't know. Maybe. I think I've got to move this around like this, because I'm a little bit... Oh, wait. Is that doing the right thing there?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. It's hard to tell, because I do that on there, and it's got a delay.
Trailer's neat. Kylo Ren's in it. That's cool.
Okay, well, we've got someone on the line that's going to talk a bit of Resistance Trailer with us. And if you want to join us, just call in on 563-999-3745. It's a different number than we used to use. So if you've got it saved, unsave it and save this. And if you want to call in internationally, get on Skype. And if you're just listening to this on the podcast, you're missing Rashad.
Pointing in the wrong direction.
Trying to point at the logo as he's put up on the screen.
I'm a professional.
Rashad's in control of the very rudimentary graphics we can use on this, and he's doing a great job. And, dude, you're pointing the wrong way.
I know.
This is so bad. It's over here. It's here.
Yes, there.
Okay,
where Steel's pointing. Call that number.
Anyway, Call that number. It's on the bottom of the screen. And live from Ohio, it's the king of all Toms, King Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Woohoo. I'm all right. Hello, Steel, Emily, Rashad. Thank you for having me.
Sadu.
Where do you stand on this? On
Sadu. Well, here's what I've been thinking, Steel. After seeing this trailer, there's a lot of awesome stuff in it, and everybody else, but you guys are talking about one thing about this trailer, but you guys are talking about the font. The font, as someone who dabbles in typography professionally, I had no problems with it.
So it is typography. Ooh. A professional typographist weighing in on Fontgate.
All right. I'll get over my font issues. I think one of the main things that people are talking about, Rashad, is the thrilling conclusion,
yeah.
Or however they put it together.
I'm a little surprised by that.
The epic conclusion. Now, I did a slight bit of research. I'm not sure if anyone in the chat or anyone on the line can help this out. Does anyone know how many episodes this is? Because I had a look on IMDb, and there's only 11 listed, and that would bring you up to mid-December. So it would, the 11 listed would bring you up to the end of The Rise of Skywalker. Now,
real quick, didn't the first season kind of break the season in half, or was it all one continuous?
No, it did break up. But this is what I'm thinking. Here's what I've been thinking, King Tom, right back at you. Is because people are like, some people are a little bit upset that like it's ending now.
Sure.
And I kind of think in my head, if there's 11 more episodes, it wraps up and their story ends somewhere between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker,
right.
Preferably as close to The Rise of Skywalker as possible. Then you've got The Rise of Skywalker, and then after that, their story is like, it's they can just do their thing in our imaginations. They
sure.
don't need to be on TV anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like if, like, just say they had, and I don't know if anyone can help me out about this. I was rambling about this on one of the Patreon shows that isn't up yet. I recorded a lot of material on the way back from Vegas in the car. It was quite a content excursion.
Extravaganza.
Robbo rang me and we recorded a podcast on the phone.
Oh, so you answered Robbo's call.
Oh, whoops. I did say if I don't answer, it means I'm on a podcast.
I know, I'm just giving you shit. It's working.
Hey, language warning on the podcast, Rashad.
Excuse me.
That's the sort of thing a good producer should be chiming
giving you poo-doo.
People about. Anyway, did George Lucas... When did he have the idea for the Clone Wars cartoon? It was like after it all finished up, yeah.
He first publicly announced it at the celebration in 2005, right before Revenge of the Sith came out.
Oh, so he did... Oh, that's even... Oh, that's even more frustrating then.
You mean the Cartoon Network CGI one, not the Genndy Tarf... however you say his last
name. Tartakovsky?
The Corey one.
Thank you, Michelle.
I call it the Corey series.
The Corey one.
Yeah.
Corey Wars.
The one that Emily loves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I was sort of musing that if he had just put in a little hint about Ahsoka, like, or even just like a Padawan that like had gone in between those two movies, that would have helped her introduction be a lot more accepted. Like if they gave her like a Clone Wars type reference, like in A New Hope.
Mm.
Anyway, but I kind of think, and I'm not like a huge fan of this cartoon. I think it's like good, but not. Like, I'm not fanning out over it. But after The Rise of Skywalker, whether or not their story ends before or after, I'm kind of like, I've got no urgency to find out. I couldn't imagine, like, caring that much.
About these characters?
Yeah, or just even the story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, whilst there are other people that are very devout fans, I feel like if I'm not into it, then Joe Ticket Buyer... You know that dude that's just got like two Funko Pops?
I live two doors down from him.
Okay. Yeah, well, then he's definitely not going to be into it.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you guys sit on that one, Emily?
Yeah, it would be weird to go back to it after The Rise of Skywalker, especially as we get this whole, you know, The Rise of Skywalker is the end of the saga, the end of this piece of Star Wars. And however much you think that's true or not, it'd be weird to do six episodes of a cartoon that is set right before this movie, then have the movie, and then have a few more episodes. I don't think that makes any sense. I'm happy for the series to end. As much as I've enjoyed it, I was lukewarm in it for most of this first season and then fell in love with it in the past couple of, like, the last few episodes. But I'd much rather have one more season of really solid, tight storytelling, and then it's done, than three more seasons of, they're just sort of hanging around doing stuff.
Yeah, just like treading water, literally.
Well, no, not anymore.
True.
It's taken off, both in pace and the ship.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Did anyone see the episode at Celebration?
I did not.
I did not.
Fine.
Maybe one of our callers did.
Maybe, but we'll find out later. But, however, and I doubt this very much, if this part of the series led up to The Rise of Skywalker and then somehow the remaining 10 or 11 were post, I'd be very interested in that. But I don't want to go, I don't want to see The Rise of Skywalker and then go back and then
I don't want Resistance to be the thing that shows us the post Rise of Skywalker world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it could just be a little true. Like,
yeah, it could be a little nugget of something.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Doesn't Rise of Skywalker take place a year after The Last Jedi?
I think.
Yeah, I think they've...
Have they officially said that?
I'm sort of like in the 12 to 24 months period.
Yeah, I thought someone said it at some point around Celebration, and while I get the sense they've been on, you know, in space on the Colossus longer than they would like, I don't think it's been that long.
No. What about, like, what we saw in there, a bit of Kylo Ren, not Adam Driver's voice, which, you know, what are you going to do? He's busy in New York doing plays with television's Felicity.
He's an artist, a thespian.
Cartoons are art.
Yes, they can be.
Sometimes Rashad is just difficult for...
Just for the lols.
It was cool to see the Crimson Corsair.
Yeah, that was cool.
And one of those Death Gang dot heads. You know, old dot head.
Oh, the Guavian Death Gang. Yeah, that was cool.
Dot head.
Yeah, I don't think that's really appropriate.
Oh, you think that's like racially insensitive?
The Guavians might not enjoy that.
But it's not. It's their mask.
Maybe. Oh, you know what was really exciting is I've seen
that's
it thrown around.
That's a very Irish name.
Right. But...
Like, Hammerhead or Squidhead.
Yeah. The galaxy's not very...
We're going to call you Crown Noggin.
They did have a scene, which I've seen on Twitter, a lot of people talking about, the radar technician outfit. That's canon. That's in Resistance. That's a big deal for some people. I don't know who those people are,
dude,
but it's a big deal.
Yeah, maybe for you badge wearers, but whatevers.
I don't wear badges. I wear pins.
I did like, ironically and cynically, that you're watching the trailer and it's like, oh, this is so much action and references, it's all good. And then it just shows Kaz like tripping over stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's gonna be a couple episodes where I don't care about this, probably.
It's he's got a case of Ezra-itis.
It's for kids.
It is. But you know, the trailer makes it so serious. Like, the music is like very intense, a lot of war drums, and it's very operatic in a lot of ways. It seems like this season, more than the last season, in my opinion, is going to have more substance to it in a way, like for the hardcore fans.
You say it's for kids, Tom, and I agree. But I'm trying to remember in all the things I watched when I was young, like, how many of these characters that I love were tripping up over everything? Like, do you know what I mean? If, like, I remember watching, like, G-Force, Battle of the Planets, or, you know, Voltron, or Transformers. I don't remember, like, all this tripping over. Robotech? They trip over on Robotech? I don't think they did.
I don't, I think you, sometimes you would have a character, a side character.
Who side was, character, yes.
You knew it was the comic relief.
Side character. Not right. The, like, the bit where he goes, I'm a spy, and then trips up, it kind of like, I don't know, it's like they're making fun of the conceit of the show.
Right, it's, Yusa could say he's a clumsy. It's a little Jar Jar reference for you.
If you are on hold and you actually want to talk about Resistance, hit 1 on your keypad, and then we'll know you want to chat about that. Or we can chat about other things as well. Emily, what's happening in the chat? What's the vibe with everyone in there?
There seems to be a fair consensus on being at least mostly okay that the show is ending after 2 seasons. But Kieran, he says, it's weird to hear it's ending after season 2 when Rebels got at least 4 seasons. But then Aaron Taylor says, I think I would have liked Rebels a lot more if it were only 2 seasons. So,
yeah, I think just keep it tight. And I just sort of think interest for the show is just going to evaporate after. Like, it was so weird. I was relieved.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just like, well, this bit of the story is done. We're going to see the movie. Draw new animated people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sure they're working on it.
That would be very exciting. Emily did some amazing research, took a leaf out of comicbookreport.org's research and went straight to Pablo Hidalgo's Twitter account. And he tweeted some fun stuff. We've been coming up with some of the fun stuff we've been coming up to, some really great adventures coming up. And then more info will surely come soon, but we had some great writers join the squadron this season, many of whom have been patiently waiting to tell the world, I'm sure. And because this always trips people up, work on season 2 started in summer 2017. And I think that is a subtle hint to people, letting them know that it's not like cancelled. They stopped making it before.
It was all part of the plan.
But this is the kind of annoying thing. And by kind of, I mean very, is the whole, like, at Celebration, just say it's the final season. Or just like just the lack of how many episodes is it? When's it? Like all these, like, secrets for secret's sake. It's so weird. And that, you know, then you know, the Mandalorian and all that sort of stuff. And, like, I always think of, like, Picard. It doesn't come out for, like, 6 months.
You know.
And I've seen a jaw-dropping trailer that's,
right.
Makes me want to subscribe to something I really don't want to subscribe to.
I think part of it might be that they just didn't want Resistance to get overshadowed at Celebration and to have its own kind of moment in the sun. Because I feel like if you announce, by the way, Resistance is, this is going to be the last season, in a convention where we saw a trailer for Rise of Skywalker, we got a bunch of footage for Mandalorian, and there's a bunch of other stuff that happens.
Let me pull you up there.
Pull me up.
Okay.
Raise me up.
So, no, I won't be raising. So to give their time in the sun, this great cartoon, to not, like, steal their thunder, they're going to announce it's the final season by just slipping it in the wording of, like, the trailer.
Fair, but, okay, hang on. On the other side of things, when's the last time you've had, like, quote-unquote big Star Wars news to talk about? in the last few months. This is like the biggest thing that's happened in a while.
I'm still waiting for big Star Wars news, trust me.
Oh, shade.
Next week, D23. Any other thoughts on the whole deal?
Well, I've been sort of wondering what the rest of you sort of, what are you most looking forward to in this season? Because for me, what really interested me was Tam's storyline of going over to the First Order, because that's a story we haven't gotten in Star Wars before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen like the fall to the dark side, but just like a normal person getting seduced by something like the First Order of the Empire, like, for me, that's fascinating. I'm sure she's going to be redeemed. Like, even in the trailer, you can tell she's being really conflicted, but I'm really interested in seeing that part play out. So I was wondering, what are you guys most looking forward to seeing?
I'm going to go with nothing.
Or... Yeah, okay.
I'm going to watch it, but I'm not... I'm not dissing it.
You're not invested.
It just hasn't grabbed me.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's something to her story that's interesting, but not necessarily for the reason you said, Emily, but I want to see more of the inner workings of First Order military, I guess, their training regimen and kind of the brainwashing and yada, yada, yada. I think that could be neat.
I think Emily is definitely at a point about, you know, Tam and her storyline. One thing I really would like to see from this series, not that it's disappointed me, but I don't feel like we've gotten it. But since the very first time we saw footage of this series, they build it kind of as a racing series, with, you know, focus. A lot of the early trailer focus and promotional focus seem to be on the Aces.
Hey Tom, and can I interrupt you for a second? Can you say racing series again with that much enthusiasm?
Which one? What am I saying?
Racing series.
Yeah, you really said it like I got excited when you said it. Please say it again.
Racing theory.
Ooh, nice.
I got checked.
So I would like to see more of the Aces in action, because it feels like last season we got more of them on the ground than in the air or in space. And that's the kind of stuff I like. And also, I'm curious as to this mysterious Jedi/Sith/ancient force, whatever battery type thing they're talking about.
Star Wars spelt out. Josh Chapman chimes in on the little chat here, and he says, I want to see how it plays out with the events of The Last Jedi going on in the background. Will we hear that Luke came back and stared down the First Order? Now, that is enchanting.
Ooh.
And enticing.
I got chills.
I don't think we will. And I don't think it's the best thing. Hey, I hope we hear about that movie we liked in the cartoon. Like, I just don't think that's the most,
I don't know how
it's not a good selling point for the cartoon, if that's what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, sure. But also, that all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
But it would be neat.
This one is dark. Darth Sidious 322, if that is your real name. I'm hoping for a Rogue One style ending for Resistance. None of the new characters resonate with me. Oh, Brittany Brown says, lol, same. Jeez.
Tough crowd.
Brittany Brown,
so
I know for a fact you don't want Bitey to die.
Which one's Bitey?
The fish thing with the teeth.
Yeah, so okay. I'm like, quite whatever's about it, but I'm not, like, I don't really, like, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not, it's just like,
I'm not invested enough to really have a strong opinion on this show, but it's been fun.
Yeah, and I've never, like, none of the cartoons have really grabbed me yet. Like, even Clone Wars, I was, like, I didn't watch it all when it first came out because I got to the shark people and...
Some of the episodes of the Clone Wars I liked. Like, I'd say...
I'm not saying they're not good, but sure. I'm saying it didn't, like...
Didn't grab your attention.
Yeah. Like, it's not... Hey, it's no HBO Succession, Rashad.
I know, I need to watch it.
Damn.
Hey, Steel, I gotta head out, buddy.
Oh.
Oh, where do you have to go, King Tom? Back to your family?
I A family of sorts.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Yeah, we see how
cool.
it is, buddy.
All right. Enjoy your time in the big time, buddy.
Enjoy talking about DC, the Snyder Cut, or whatever you talk about over there on the Sith list.
Yeah. Have fun talking about it.
I didn't plug
and clowns.
You. I didn't plug. You did. But thank you so much for having me, and have a great night, everybody.
Oh, Tom, plug your Patreon show before you go, buddy. Come on.
Oh, the one I do with Haas on Blue Harvest? The one I do with Luke Cruiser and producer extraordinaire?
And he just cut out. That's a real shame.
He does a show with Steel. Steel's just salty about it.
I'm not salty about it. It's a great show. I'm a bit salty he doesn't mention it. Anyway, let's get this one up, Rashad. Star Wars Barbie.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Hey, Emily, you're a girl.
Awesome.
You're a girl.
Oh,
you have Barbies.
Uh-huh.
It's bred into you. Are you running out to buy these?
You know what? Actually, if the price point were lower, I would get these.
How much are they?
They're like $100.
$100.
This is from IO9, James Whitbrook. When you think Star Wars Barbies as a concept, you would think it would be very easy for Mattel to put Barbie in a Princess Leia costume and call it a day. Fair enough. Which, to be fair, Mattel has indeed done, but has also gone beyond that to deliver two extra Star Wars Barbies who are definitely are very well extra. I think these are awesome, and partly because they didn't go the easy route of just dressing up Barbie as Padme or Princess Leia, which has sort of been done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we had the Action Collection, I think it was called.
Forces of Destiny Collection.
Yeah,
too.
But even before that, like, when Episode 1 came out, and this is why I'm not even sure if they have. Maybe someone in the chat can let me know if the angry boys are angry about the Barbies as well. But when Episode 1 came out, there was, like, tons of, like, these elaborate Padme, like, premium Barbie. They weren't Barbies. They were made by Hasbro. But, like, very, very lovely.
They're, like, the expensive collector Barbies or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Kind of, like, in maybe a $50 price point, and then 6 months later at maybe a $10 price point when I bought so much Phantom Menace merchandise on clearance. If you put any of that stuff on discount, I was straight in there. But these are quite cool because they're kind of like fashion pieces based on the outfits. So there's sort of like a very...
like runway design chic to it.
Yeah. If someone was doing a Star Wars themed thing at New York Fashion Week, this is what you would get.
Yeah. Yo, these Barbies can get it, though. They look sick.
What does that mean? They can get it.
They can get it.
What's it?
I mean, sex.
I mean, that's not what I mean, but like...
It is, yeah.
They can conquer the world, is my point.
The guests on the Steel Wars podcast are independent voices and are not representative of the views of
that
Steel R2
Barbie
Saunders.
Is easily my favorite. It's very David Bowie-esque.
I like the I like her jacket. It looks like she's got Leia's Hoth
vest.
Little vest on. But I
like her little 3PO purse.
Yeah, she turned him into a purse.
I think, it's a cool little line, and I like that they didn't just make Barbie dolls, which is whatevs, really, being that we have already done it. They went the extra mile to give us a customized thing. We're going to change this camera setup next time, so I'm not turning back around to look at you, Rashad.
I don't mind it.
So handsome.
I know.
And you don't have any badges on today. So
I do have a badge on.
Where?
But damn it! Again.
Where's your badge?
Right here. My pin is right here.
What is that? I thought that was like a bracelet for your shirt or something.
No, this is the Han Solo Lucky Dice.
Into the microphone, producer.
This is what I wear to work to be classy.
Into the microphone. We've got someone on hold. I'm not sure if they want to chat, but I'm going to just put them on the line to see what they are doing. 619, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, it's Brittany from San Diego.
Oh, no.
Sadu!
Yes! Brittany, how are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you? How's everyone? Hi, Emily. Hi, Rashad. You look naked without your jean jacket.
I know, oh, but wow. It's the summer heat. I got to get a jean vest.
God, that's going to bring up the views. Rashad looks naked.
Oh, yeah.
Brittany's already written that in the chat. Oh, my God. Are you writing out your scripts before you talk?
I mean, we do.
Okay, fair enough. What did you make of the Resistance trailer, Brittany?
Well, to be honest, I think I forgot the Resistance existed until this trailer came out. But I thought it was a good trailer. I'm glad that it's ending because I would rather not have it drag out. And I don't know, I just don't really connect with a lot of these characters. Like, my favorite character is a fish, you know? So, I don't know.
That is awesome. Let's get to somewhere where Brittany has been. And that is Galaxy's Edge.
Ooh.
Emily found this article where she normally looks for news on foxbusiness.com. And it says, wait times this summer. This is from, they talked to an unnamed employee who stayed unnamed to keep his job, which apparently isn't that good because he's not getting many hours. So, wait times this summer for the new Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Ride. We're expected to be over 2 hours long all summer, but in reality, the lines have been averaging half that or less. An employee who spoke under the condition of anonymity tells Fox Business, as a result, the company has been forced to cut out hours. The need for us to work simply isn't there. Bob Iger comments, then park attendants in an earnings call cited several factors: rise of Disneyland cost, both passes and hotels, expectations of overcrowding, and only one ride. According to Disney, attendance at the company's domestic parks was down 3% in the third quarter, although per capita spending was up 10%, and occupancy on on-site hotels rose 2 percentage points. Another exec also cited that annual pass holders were more restricted in dates than usual. I find that sort of reasoning, I dug a hole and someone fell in it because they were the ones that made the passes restricted.
Well,
like, it wasn't the government came in with, like, we must restrict these passes.
No, I think, Brittany, you have an annual pass, right?
Yes, I do.
So, unless you have, like, a really high-end tier, aren't most of the dates in the summer blacked out?
Yeah, I'm not able to go until, like, early September, which usually it's, like, the end of August. But, yeah, they're definitely dragging it out. We aren't really getting as many days as we used to. And I feel like as the years go on, our passes aren't going to let us have so many days.
I wonder how much of this was strategically planned because of Galaxy's Edge in order to maximize people who don't have passes to spend the money to go to the park and make more money that way. But at the same time, I feel like as somebody who doesn't have a pass, I was really not planning on going until the winter of next year when I thought it would die down. I had the opportunity to go with our friends Colleen and Brandon, and it was pretty dead. We waited an hour for the Millennium Falcon ride. It was totally fine. I mean, I ended up getting a picture with the Falcon with nobody in the background, which I didn't think was ever going to happen. I had a great time there. It's really well done. But I feel like maybe all of us who don't have a pass and didn't or were anticipating the crowds stayed away. So maybe that has something to do with all this.
Yeah, well, that's what Bobby I does say, the expectations of overcrowding, because, do you know what I mean? There was all those photoshops of, you know, making fun of that, like, Millennium Falcon area, and as if you could get no one in that photo, it's going to be packed. And I definitely think, I was like you, I had no intention of going until way later, because I was just like, I can't, like, it's like my thing was like, you go to a party and it's open bar. but there's 300 people there and one bartender.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'd rather just go somewhere and pay.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's too good a thing. It's attracting too much people. Right. And so I was sort of like, oh no, that's going to be a nightmare. I have no interest in like getting crammed up against that. And then I got an opportunity to go, and then I went for, you know, to go to like a preview. But I definitely put off by that. And I've been telling people, like before it opened and I'd already been, I was saying to people, I'll wait till, you know, if this is going to be your one time to go to Disneyland a year, then wait for the other ride to open.
Right.
And, but that's like their problem as well. Like they created that problem by opening it. You know, they couldn't get the ride to work and they were like, let's just open it anyway.
Sure.
Which I guess in the long run, once they get over this bump, they're going to end up with more money in their pocket than not opening it, sort of thing. And then you've got people that plan like their vacations. Like you've got the pass holders can't get in, the people that live in California. And then the people that travel, that take the place of the pass holders, they're like, well, I don't want to go this summer because it's going to be crazy. Yeah. I've seen the Photoshop. There's a lot of people in front of that Millennium Falcon. They seemed very crammed in. So what has to happen, though, is this ride, this Rise of the Resistance, has to open, and it has to be amazing. Because the Falcon ride, in my opinion, is not amazing.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. It didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
Brittany, what did you think of the Falcon ride?
I don't know. I felt the same. I'm not the biggest fan of those simulator rides where, like, you are part of the ride. Like,
mm-hmm.
I take Disneyland very seriously. Like,
oh, I
don't do well with change. So going into Galaxy's Edge, I was very overwhelmed because I'm like, this is such a new experience. And I'll probably feel the same way going on Rise of the Resistance. But I don't know. I still feel very meh about Galaxy's Edge.
I loved Galaxy's Edge, but the ride was probably my least favorite part of it, to be honest. I enjoyed the line in the little kind of waiting area.
Oh, where the lounge is the best.
Yeah, the lounge is I wanted to spend like 20 more minutes there.
Yeah. Aaron in the chat says tourism is down in America. That's usually the first sign of a recession. But I think that attendance at Universal Studios is actually up. So they've, mm-hmm. they've bounced a few really? People from Disney to Universal. And, of course, they've got the new or the revamped Jurassic Park ride.
Which I heard is...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Harry Potter and all that good stuff. But it's... I heard a bizarre... I've heard there's been some amazing rumours on the internet of late. The one where Bob Iger is considering turning it into an Aladdin land.
Turning what?
Galaxy's Edge. And when you make a land for $1 billion, you don't decide to change the theme of it before it's finished. Like, I Disneyland is very good. Let's just admit it.
Yeah, it's the best theme park in Southern California, I think, all around.
And this ride is meant to be the best ride they've ever done, or whatever, whatever. It's up there.
Yeah,
and
I mean, all the reports, 20 minutes, and pyrotechnics.
And you get on a ride, then you get off a ride.
Yeah.
It's all interactive and stuff. So if this ride just has to kick everyone in the dick, and then it's not like this... 12 months isn't like it's not like a film,
right?
It's like a 10-year like journey of money collection.
Wow.
But do you know what I mean? It's not like they don't make these things to
make all the money back in the first year.
Yeah, it's not like a film. It's like a long-term investment of let's draw people over time.
Sure.
And I definitely don't think you can count it out until the main ride is open.
Sure, and I think we've been a little bit down on it. I just want to emphasize that I thought Galaxy's Edge was amazing. Like, I enjoyed just walking around, taking the sights in. I think we spent like 2 or 3 hours just kind of looking at stuff in the stores and the shops and the buildings and the architecture. And I looked at the Falcon for 20 damn minutes. I was just like in awe of just the spectacle of it. I thought it was really well done. The immersion was great. You know, the ride, I can take it or leave it, but I like that it exists.
The immersion needs to step up. You gotta get some aliens out there.
Yeah, there needs to be aliens and actual droids moving around, but they're over the speakers where they're playing the music every once in a while. Brittany, I don't know if you notice this, but they play like a really loud sound effect that sounds like a spaceship is either landing or taking off.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. I was there 2 weeks ago and heard that, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, I looked up, like, genuine, like, oh, what's that? Like, something, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
yeah, but he'll do that for anything. Watch this. Row. He had to fight looking up then. He had to use everything to not look up. I'm not sure what show I was on about this theory, but, or not a theory, but a concept that you have every day. You have, because Disney people love, like, chase things and collecting things and stuff. And for the people that go every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, like, 50 alien costumes, which I'm pretty sure they've got.
Sure.
And then each day you've got, like, 10 or 15 people, and they're in those aliens. And then there's some aliens that are, like, only come out, like, 5 times a year. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, and then you could do, like, in-jokes. Like, yeah, I got a photo with Yak Face today. Or like a blue snaggle tooth.
So the idea would just be you got to go take a photo with that person?
Well, it's just fun.
Alien, sorry.
Like, to have aliens. And then if you're going all the time and you're just like, oh, yeah, there's Greedo again. But if you mixed it around, then there'd be like, because when you get into the head of that regular Disney goer that's into, like, the badges and that sort of stuff.
The what?
Into, the badges.
The what?
The badges.
Mm-mm. Don't like that.
Love it. What do you think about that idea, Brittany? Do you think that would make things a little bit more exciting? And you could take a photo on the app. Is the app thing just a joke? Like, is the app thing, like, all, like, hot air? I don't, like, people were so into it before it opened, but I don't hear anyone raving about their app experience.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea with getting, like, different creatures and walking around, but I think the only thing that's keeping them from doing that is people lining up and taking pictures, because I don't know, I've been to Galaxy's Edge that many times, but I think when people see Rey and everything, they think that it's, like, you know, the other part of the park where you can take pictures of the characters and line up, so I wouldn't want people to get confused, but overall I think that would be a good idea.
I have a question, actually, for the two of you. You both have you both been to the cantina in Galaxy's Edge?
Yes.
Are there aliens hanging out in the cantina, like, pretending to be patrons?
No, there's not. And, you know, there should be. Like, of course, like, they have the bartenders there, like, acting like you're on Batuu.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, it just reminds me so much of Scum and Villainy that I've been there so many times. So it's just funny being in there and being like, wow, I'm paying $20 for, you know, like, an experience, or for drinks and an experience that I have, like, 40 minutes away from here.
Sure.
And no podcast.
No podcast. But no Captain America.
Yeah, like, no Captain America, no Steel Wars.
No Tater Tots.
It's weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to D23, which I was very happy to realize this morning is in 2 weeks' time. Not this week. Disney Plus Showcase. These are the things going on of interest Friday at 3:30 for 90 minutes, with hopefully an official release on a Mando trailer. I'm not sure what you guys in the chat think, and if anyone wants to call in, very happy to take your call on 563-999-3745. But for everything this year, as far as, thank you, Rashad, the Rise of Skywalker promotion, the Mandalorian promotion, it's been very quiet. Now, I kind of see myself as some sort of pseudo-marketing expert, but I'm not a marketing expert. There's people that work at Disney that are, and I am hoping from 2 weeks from today, or whenever D23 is, up until the release of Disney Plus and The Rise of Skywalker, they blow me away with the promotion for this stuff, because I think general, like, knowledge, awareness of The Mandalorian to, you know, Jimmy Ticket Buyer, the guy that's got two Funko Pops, who lives around the corner from you, I think it's very low, and they just need to, like, and I can't wait for it. I can't, because this is, like, this streaming service thing is such a key, you know, maybe more than, it probably is more than the Disney Park, the Galaxy's Edge. This is, like, key to Disney's future.
This is where they're investing a bunch of their money. I mean, they're not planning on turning a profit on the streaming service for 3, 4, maybe 5 years.
Yeah, which is quite common with streaming services.
No, it's really like 2 years. It's because the price point's so low.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not so much like the exact amount of years, but it is like a loss leader for...
Correct. But once it, you know, hopefully gains momentum and gains steam, it's going to probably be the most consistent and arguably the biggest chunk of money Disney can expect to bring in. You know, I mean, they can count on like maybe 25% of their company income coming just from the streaming service. I think that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, and apparently that the Home Alone remake is for Disney Plus.
That's insane. That's insane. Disney's just coming in aggressive. We're going to give you the streaming service for $7, and it's going to have every Disney thing ever and all these Star Wars movies in a brand new, for the first time, live-action Star Wars show. Come and get it.
Come and get it.
Yeah.
With Peter Russell Clark. It's an Australian reference.
Totally didn't get it.
Filoni and Favreau will be there for the Disney Plus. We've been in the trenches at D23 together before. These shared panels, I think you're a bit more tolerant of them than I. I can't stand them.
Yep.
Can somebody explain what a shared panel is?
Well, they're just
so a shared panel is...
Thank you, Brittany.
Different movies. Oh, sorry. Hi. I'm interrupting as always.
No, please.
So I believe when I hear like a shared panel, I think of like Pixar and Walt Disney Studios and like different streaming services. Like, for instance, during one of the panels, we're going to get a sneak peek of Lady and the Tramp, and then they're going to talk about The Mandalorian. So you're going from like different universe to different universe.
If you can't see this, Steele is literally grinding his nails on the table and ruining his really nice table.
Oh my god, I've now got table underneath my
nails.
That's
disgusting.
Oh my god.
Sorry. So, Brittany, you're saying the panel is from like 1 to 3, it's just going to be a hodgepodge of different projects that they're going to throw at you. It's not even going to be a consistent theme.
Correct. So, we're going to get sneak peeks and appearances from many people in different Disney movies, animated movies. Like, for instance, I think there's like a Pixar movie coming out with Tom Holland and Chris Pratt. We'll probably see them. I don't know. It's it's not very ideal for a big Star Wars fan to like go to these conventions, because I mean you're only getting so little Star Wars and like so much Disney, which is why I don't think Steele was very entertained last year when it was announced that the table from Mary Poppins is returning. So
Dude, I would have burned that table. And in all of the reviews, no one mentioned that. No one said the table killed it. That's all I'm going to say.
What the hell? A table from Mary Poppins?
Yeah, they brought it back.
What table?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some table. Apparently, it's key to the story. Like if
it sounds like it was like a 2-hour panel about a table and not just a thing they mentioned that they thought was cool.
To be honest, that is the only thing I remember from that panel. And then some dude came out and danced, and then some orchestra played music from Mary Poppins, and then we got the Lion King teaser, which I always talk about on the podcast for some reason. And then Star Wars people came out and shared something that was literally on StarWars.com like 10 seconds later. So, but still, it was a great time. I'm the biggest Disney person, so I am very excited for these panels and to not sleep for 2 days.
So
here's the thing, Steel Saunders.
Oh, God. No.
It's not a Star Wars convention. What do you expect them to do? Like, do you want, like, a 20-minute Star Wars panel? And then, like, a 20-minute Marvel show panel and a 20-minute Here's the Home Alone panel?
No, I want an hour Star Wars panel, and then you can do whatever else you want with the corpse of Kevin.
Are there specific Star Wars-related panels scheduled at D23 as of right now?
Yes.
There's a Galaxy's
Edge. Yeah,
isn't there, like...
I have a list.
Oh, please give us the list, Emily. Unless Steele is looking at it right now.
It's Emily's list.
Okay. Besides the fact that the Disney Plus showcase and the movie one where we'll see something from Rise of Skywalker, there's three smaller specific Star Wars panels. There's
the tables of Star Wars.
Stop interrupting.
Sorry.
I want to hear this. I'm very invested.
I'm going to hit Steele with the table.
It was too funny to me not to say.
You have the music and sounds of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on Friday at 12:30. You have Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR experience, episode 2, First Look. That's on Friday at 2. And then you have Inspiring Women Behind Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on Sunday at 2. So probably not the most exciting panels for me personally, but there's a few dedicated panels.
And in these kind of generic Disney panels, that's where they're going to throw maybe some Rise of Skywalker stuff, maybe
definitely
Mandalorian stuff.
No, definitely Mandalorian stuff and definitely Rise of Skywalker stuff. They've said they're doing it. It's just, it's like, the panel isn't, it's by topic, just not by, like, franchise. So there's the Disney Plus panel.
I see.
And then there is the Walt Disney Studios panel where they're looking at their films for the next couple of years.
Got it. So,
So Emily, you seem very defensive of this table.
I think Emily wants to put you through this table.
Are you pro-table?
Baka!
You know what? I am pro-table. I think all the tables in Mary Poppins should have been in Mary Poppins 2 or whatever that movie was called. I didn't actually see that movie, but all the original tables. Any time you make a sequel, you should have to use the original tables.
Well, it's not if they said we're using the original umbrella, I'd be like, that's sick.
Steele, I think it's time we table this discussion.
Oh.
Oh. Ooh. Hold on.
Wow.
I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for giving Steele and I something to agree on, Rashad.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
So I'm I like the hanging out with Brittany and Rusty is like what I'm looking forward to, and knowing that I shouldn't expect, I think I'll have a much better time this time because I know what to expect, and that's not much. And then they'll show me something good, and I'll be so stoked.
Yeah,
hopefully
have a good time.
Maybe.
And then I'll be there in the evening. It'll be great.
Are you really going in the evening?
I'm going to go
really?
Saturday night. Yeah, I'm going to hang out.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to go to the convention, but I'll come have some drinks with you guys.
What are you going to do afterwards?
I'll get you a drink.
What do you mean afterwards?
Where are you going to stay that night?
Buddies.
Okay. Just trying to get a ride home.
Oh, sorry. I'm not driving home.
Damn it. This is bad news for all Star Wars fans. And then our final item is that it will melt your mind.
Oh, Steel, do you have a charger I can borrow?
I do.
Well, if we don't charge this, the show's over. So
yeah,
we're good.
I'm giving it to you.
I know.
Just, you can flip the screen around.
Yep, I know. I'm aware.
Are you though? Because you weren't going to do that. I was just saying what you're doing.
You premeditated the decision and the judgment.
I think you could just say, that's a handy tip, Steel. Thank you. Dude, it's on video. We can see that you weren't going to flip it around.
I was just trying to get the cable from you first. Okay. And then logistically, we would have figured it out.
All right, well, everyone in the chat, you just review that footage and see what's going. Our final item is Kevin Smith visited the set of The Rise of Skywalker, and this story's been going around since Comic-Con, but I thought it was a fun thing to chat about. Emily agreed, and any time that me and Emily agree is cause for celebration and a segment on a podcast. Kevin Smith visited the set of The Rise of Skywalker and was told by the crew that there was one thing in particular that he really needed to look at. They were like, you have to see this. When you see it, it will melt your mind. I was like, what was it? And they were like, ask JJ, he told IGN. As it turned out, director JJ Abrams didn't agree with his crew. He goes, don't. I say, why? And he said, it's the last shot of the movie. I was like, well, now I really want to see it. And he said, you don't want this spoiled. You want to be in the theater when you see this. Trust me.
You know how I could have distilled this entire conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith, crew member. Dude. Bro.
Dude. Bro.
Dude. 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 Bro. Nah, bro. The end.
Now, you know, there's a few people in the chat saying that Kevin Smith is the king of hyperbole, and why not? And I also think that if you understand that, then you can interpret his stuff.
Sure. Right?
But when you hear, and if people in the chat want to call in or they just want to talk about it in the chat, what do people think this final set could be?
Ooh, I want to hear from Brittany and Emily, too, what they think.
Brittany or Emily?
I mean, I've sort of been of the impression of I'm never going to figure out what this could possibly be because, I don't know, it's got to be something familiar, but I also don't quite know what it is when he's talking about you need to look at something. Like, is he talking about, like, a physical set? Is he talking about, a scene that was shot, that like footage? So that's been really unclear to me from everything that Kevin Smith has said, and so that makes guessing anything pretty much impossible.
I'm of the impression it's of a set, like the set is the part of the mind melting experience.
I can't even come up with a guess of what a set, like a literal piece of a set could be that would melt my mind. Or even be like, holy crud. Even like once you take into account Smith's hyperbole.
All right. Here's a few options, I think. Naboo. Something on Naboo.
Wouldn't melt my brain.
Ew.
I'm just throwing them out. I've got a long list. Let's just chill out before we start throwing Mary Poppins' table at me, everyone. Jeez.
Threw him.
And just so everyone understands, I'm going through the films chronologically thinking of great sets. Man. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a great list.
Let's just chill out. I think Attack of the Clones. The only thing that it could possibly be from Attack of the Clones that would melt your mind is not actually their set, and that would be the Skywalker farm on Tatooine.
Or the Kamino cloning facility, which has been run down after so many years, last used by Emperor Palpatine to clone himself and create Rey. I'm being facetious, by the way. I don't actually believe that's a thing.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be a little, you know, throw a little edgelord into your theories. Go ahead. Continue.
God, Rashad the edgelord.
Yeah.
Okay, well, wait. I have a question. Is mind-melting equal surprise? Because I wouldn't find... I would really, really like an ending on Tatooine. I think it would be beautiful and gorgeous, but also I wouldn't be shocked by it.
Mm.
I've got an idea.
Hit me with it.
Mind melting, right?
No. Okay. No.
Hang on.
Pass.
Wait. You pass. Didn't even let me. Wow.
No, because you've held like you are leading into a pun.
It was not a pun.
Okay, go.
Okay, so they're on this new desert planet, right?
Yep.
They're all the whole film. Rumor has it, everyone is looking for one thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Happiness.
We'll see. So, you know, the group, our resistance group, are Poe, Rey, and Finn. You know, they make it through this canyon, and they find what they're looking for. And it's encased in this very ornate kind of box. And, you know, Kylo Ren and the First Order show up with the Knights of Ren just before, you know, they're able to kind of whisk it away. They imprison imprison Poe, Rey, and Finn, and then force them to witness what they're about to do, which is open this box. Turns out this box is the Ark of the Covenant, and upon opening the box, releases four spirits and literally melts everyone's minds. Written and directed by George Lucas.
It's all connected.
I thought it was funny.
I wish you could hang up on people that are next to me. See, you've got this tell that, like, it's like you're gonna, like, this is leading to a bad joke.
Part of that is the funny part, though. That's the humor is in the fact that you know the bad joke's coming.
Is it? Anyway.
Continue.
Thank you. Revenge of the Sith. I don't think there's really anywhere that could blow your mind in Revenge of the
Mustafar.
Sith.
Vader's castle.
Yeah, but that's not like... that's more Rogue One.
Yeah, but you also called Tatooine back from Attack of the Clones, and Tatooine, I think of A New Hope and Return of the Jedi more than Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I just like Vader's castle.
Sure.
I just like when they were there, it wasn't built.
True.
Say,
Vader was born there.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, Vader was born.
No, it was on Coruscant.
Yeah, felt fuck off, Vader.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Had he been like thinking about that name? Had he like? Did he have a whiteboard with all like different like names for Anakin?
Darth Chad.
Because he just like Darth. Kyle, he just threw it out there.
Darth Vader.
Interesting. Interesting. Then in Star Wars, I think there's an interesting one. Of course, there's the Lars homestead. What about the temple where they had the medal ceremony?
On Yavin?
Yavin 4. Count them. Yeah. Count them. 4.
I don't know.
If you saw a set of the Yavin medal giving area, would how would your mind be dealing with that, Brittany?
It would melt.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Legitimate question though. What would actually melt your mind?
No, like, wait, we haven't gone through the list.
So angry.
No, I'm just trying to go through the list. And like, your last suggestion was like...
I'm holding back a lot of suggestions. Oh,
that's...
I feel about this list like you feel about that table, Steel.
Okay. Oh. Well, we've got it. We have to work out this mystery. Empire Strikes Back. Nothing, I don't think. Dagobah, but I don't think they're going back there. You know, people say like Cloud City. It's like, bleh, whatever. Great place, but going back there. Return of the Jedi. You've got the Death Star in that water. Like, mm-hmm. is the final scene like in like one of those underwater temple-y, you know, the how they had the all that production artwork from The Force Awakens with like the sunken Death Star.
I don't think they're going to end the Rise of Skywalker last shot with like the location of the final conflict. I think it'll be like sometime down the road, and it'll be in a different location. I don't think it's going to be like there. Although I think the last like major scene will probably be there.
Ewok Village.
No. Don't see that happening. That would be sick, but probably not.
Damn it. Imagine a redeemed Kylo Ren dancing it up with low gray.
I have a legit theory that isn't a joke. If I can just posit it for a moment.
Do you want some music for this?
Or? No, I don't.
Okay.
So, I mean... Popular theory is the Skywalker is now becoming the new term for what the new generation of Jedi Force users become. Okay, bottom line. What if Rey is, like, becoming the new symbol of that in the galaxy, and the last shot is, like, of a temple of these new Force users, and it's, like, a statue of Rey with, you know, some other Force users of the past or something like that. And she's a teacher there, or it's even generations past her time.
What if
I hope she's not there, like, in front of a statue of herself.
That'd be awful.
What about if it's Rey at Skywalker Farm looking at the twin sons?
I would love that, if that's how it ends.
It's not like the most original thought, no. And you know, Emily said it wouldn't be that surprising, but some sweet action. What do you guys think?
I think it would be heart melting, and I'm happy with heart melting.
Me too.
And it's also how the prequel trilogy ended.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope I walk out of the cinema feeling a bit more upbeat than that, though.
I think you will.
Okay. I liked Revenge of the Sith, but I sort of just walked out. I remember just thinking, could have been more. That's all the Star Wars we're getting? That's a shame. Little did I know. Little did I know. What, Brittany, do you have anything like a mind melter?
Well, something just popped up in my head.
Love it.
What if they go back to, like, the old Jedi Temple? Like, how much in ruins is it? Like, I know they talk about it a little bit in the comics that, like, that's where Palpatine's chilling. But maybe, like, they go there and something goes down there or something. I don't know. But when I think, like, mind-melting, I think seeing certain people would be, like, mind-melting. Like, I remember for a split second after seeing Maul and Solo, my mind was melted because I'm like, how did this happen? But...
I love that internal dialogue. We've got a call just before we wrap up. 919, who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Michael Patton, calling from Brooklyn.
Michael Pappas?
Michael Patton.
Oh, sorry. I was like, you sound not like Michael Pappas, so I'm glad it's not you. What do you think, Michael?
Well, I actually was talking with Michael Pappas about this. As soon as this news broke,
oh, here and we go. Name dropping,
we came up. Well, you started it, Steel. But we were talking about it being the medal ceremony scene, because everyone that's talking about it could be this person with this, the actors weren't in the scene. It was just the set you were going to look at.
Mm.
So it has to be something. It has to be a set that you know and recognize. Even if it is the Twin Suns, you wouldn't know that you were looking at the Twin Suns unless they just had a couple of Twin Suns hanging there as props.
Oh, but they could have rebuilt that mound. They could have built that set. Like, I know that's yeah. Indonesia, but there is a chance that they would they could duplicate that, like, on a soundstage, and that would be like if you walked into a room and you were on the Skywalker farm, say goodbye to having an unliquefied brain. That's my opinion.
That's true, but then again, it also it gets back to the what is mind melting thing. And I personally just think that it's going and seeing a set. So walking in and seeing where they were given the medals for the medal ceremony, and correlate that's how the first movie ended, and that's how the last movie is going to end.
Interesting.
God, we're all yearning for some Star Wars ring theory. All yearning.
It's like
my
poetry.
Favorite thing.
We're all the children of Clean. Yeah.
It rhymes. It's like poetry.
yeah. I think the medal ceremony it could well be, and there's hints. Do you know what I mean? You see that Yavin medal. You see the blockade runner.
Yeah.
In the swamped up in the garage, in the space garage.
Is Chewie finally going to get a medal if he's not dead?
Don't you dare.
I'll fight for that medal.
Don't you put that out in the universe.
Chewie's fine, everyone. Don't worry about that. Thanks, Michael. Thank you so much for your call. And I think we are about at the end of the show. What do you think, Producer Rashad?
I would agree.
Nice. If you haven't yet, it just went up to the iTunes feed today. Check out the new interview with Old Iranian Rose talking about Star Wars fandom in the Ukraine. Quite a really cool and unique Star Wars story. And I had heaps of fun making that one, and patrons had that over the weekend. And if you are a Patreon, it's it's just $3 a month, you guys. And there is a slew of content. We're doing the episodes with Rashad, talking pop culture. We just did one about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That was fun.
And we're doing, like, this is the thing, like, King Tom reads all the books. Steele doesn't read any books because he doesn't have time. So I just figured if he just rung me up and told me what happened in the book, I would be informed and it would make good content. So we've got that one as well. And we've got another Robber Report and a Q&A that will be up in the next 24 hours. So thank you, Brittany Brown, for joining us. Thank you, Emily Lind, for co-hosting. It's always a pleasure. And I can't recommend their podcast, The Canto Bite Dispatch, enough. It's truly a joy to listen to. What are you guys going to be talking about this week, you guys?
What did we talk? I'm trying to think what we talked about this week that we can talk about on this show. Our show is very not safe for work. We talked a little about Galaxy's Edge stuff. Brittany, you edited this episode. What else did we talk about?
We talked about that new book narrated by Luke Skywalker. We talked about the new Galaxy's Edge cookbook. And that's all the appropriate things we talked about.
Ooh, sizzle.
That is some good sizzle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, yes, I love that podcast with the comic timing between you guys. It's
on point.
It's scintillating. It's just da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not sure if that music means anything to anyone in this day and age, but it means a lot to me. So check out the Canto Bite Dispatch now. Go there now. Is the new episode up now?
Friday.
All right. Well, you can relive the good times from last week.
In 24 hours and 30 minutes.
Excellent. And we've got here Jim Grote says, Episode 7 and 9 will be revealed to be a hologram viewer dream that Chewbacca's dad Itchy was watching.
Oh, my God. How dare you?
Rashad, you just got out-Rashaded.
I did.
Rashad, where can we find you on the internet, buddy?
I'm on Twitter at iCossum. I host a podcast with my best friend, Justin Rodriguez, Will Communication, if you're into Star Wars comics. Mm-hmm. That's where you find me. I'm also talking about Star Wars comics on the Bad Motivators Patreon Seismic Charges with Luke and His Highness King Tong.
Nice.
And you can find me on your Patreon talking about pop culture stuff on our show, Sadu.
Nice. You haven't seen Succession yet, have you?
I haven't. Should that be the next one? Oh, maybe I should get through season one.
So good.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'll power through season one. That'll be the next one.
It's it is truly quite a good show. And for those wondering, we're going to do the call-in show every 2 weeks currently.
Good to know.
So our next one will be the Wednesday after D23.
Fantastic.
So we'll be able to find out, if they reveal if Mary Poppins' table is in The Rise of Skywalker.
I'm really excited to not have to watch potato-quality Mandalorian footage.
Yeah, get it out there. I'm prepared to be dazzled by the promotional hype, and let's do it. Show me. Dazzle me with your media might. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. Thanks to Michael and King Tom and Brittany for calling in. And thank you out there in content land for viewing or watching. Spread the word. My son wants dinner, so I better go. And may that force be with you. I really hope there was music. There we go. That's better.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.